Amen.
So I don't think I need to introduce myself again. He's done most part of the introduction. I'm from Kenya, Africa. And I'm married. We are blessed with 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls. Our firstborn is 12 years age. Second is 10, third is 7. And then the last one is 1 year, 9 months. Amen. So thank you so much. I'm really privileged. Thank you for having me today. And this is a great, great honor for me to stand before us. I really have so much I want us to talk about today. So I really ask that we pay attention, because there is so much God is laying in my heart for us. And it's exciting that I'm speaking on the eve of Passover. Very exciting, because what I want to talk to us is in the heart of God for this nation and for the agenda of God concerning the world. Now, I began to ask God what I should share in this mission. Because every time I come around, I'm always very intentional to know what God wants to speak to us at a particular season. Now, we do know that God does not do everything all the time. God is a God of time, and he does his things in a particular timing. So there is an agenda of God for this season, for your nation. And I want us to understand that there are 3 levels of anointing in the life of a believer. The first kind of an anointing in the life of a believer is an anointing that comes to us through our union with Christ. So when we get born again and we get united with Christ, we become one with Christ, there is an anointing that is released by our union with him. Now, the second kind of anointing is the anointing that comes to help you facilitate your destiny and prophecy in your life. So every time we find our purpose in life, every time we are walking in the prophetic word of our lives, there is an anointing that comes over our lives. And the intention of that anointing is to help us facilitate that which God has said concerning our lives. The Bible says that when Samuel anointed David, that anointing was for the office of David, the office of kingship in the life of David. Now, you remember when Jesus, in Luke chapter number 4, the Bible talks about God anointing Jesus for that season to be able to fulfill the mandate of restoring mankind back to him. So there was an anointing that came upon Jesus for the task that God had given to him. Now, the third kind of anointing is what we call an anointing that comes with your alignment to understand the dealings of God in a particular season in a generation. Now, not everybody understands what God does in a season. It takes your alignment, it takes sacrifice for you to be able to hear what God is doing for a generation in a season. Now, what happens is, the moment you know what God is doing in that season, it means you carry the heart of God for that season. Not everybody carries the heart of God for a season. And it takes a lot of sacrifice for you to know what God is saying concerning your life, concerning your territory, concerning your nation for that season. Now, when you understand what God is doing for that season, there is an anointing that comes over you. The Bible says that God cannot do anything in a territory without speaking to his servants, the prophet. It means for God to do anything in a generation, there must be people who have aligned themselves with God to hear his heart for that generation. And that dealing introduces you to a certain anointing that helps you to be able to speak or do the dealings of God in that particular season. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 13 that he, God, works in us to will, both to will and to do. Why? For the purposes of God. Now, that grace that helps you to will and to do concerning his purposes is what we call the anointing that comes for your season. Now, this is why you realize that there are people that seems to love God for a particular season, and then the fire goes down for some season. Not everybody has the ability to manage the spiritual things in every season. You understand what I'm saying? Not every person has the ability to walk with God in every season. The Bible says that when David had served God in his generation, he was laid to rest with his ancestors. So my assignment today is to unveil to us the agenda of God concerning your nation in this season. Are you walking with me? The agenda of God concerning this territory. Now, there are three things God is doing in this particular season, the emphasis of God in every territory. God is emphasizing three things majorly. The Spirit of God is following up to ensure that these three things happen. Number one is what we call world evangelism. The first emphasis of the Spirit of God is what we call world evangelism. Every believer must be a partaker in evangelizing. Every believer must be a partaker in seeing that people come to the kingdom. It is the emphasis of the kingdom. And God is looking for faithful laborers. God is looking for men who have aligned themselves to be used to bring people to Jesus. I tell you, we are about to see the Islamic nation coming to Jesus more than we have seen them before. We are about to see this generation being drawn to God more than we have seen them before. So the call of the Spirit in this season is that men must arise and draw people back to God. It is your assignment. It is not the assignment of your pastor. No. It is not the assignment of the people in Fivefold. It is the assignment of every believer to see that people are drawn back to Jesus. Number two, the second emphasis in this generation is the maturity of saints. The maturity of saints. The Spirit of God is releasing grace for believers to mature, for believers to grow in the place of maturity. So, you will begin to see many teachers arising. Many people will begin to arise with the grace of teaching, because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 3 and verse number 15 that God shall give unto us pastors who will teach us after the heart of God. So it is the desire of God that the church is raised in maturity and in the stature of God. Now, this is where the church has a problem, because the church is so imbalanced in so many things.
There is a lot of disconnections in the body of Christ. But do you know, in the Bible, there was a particular curriculum that the church was taken through. If you brought the church in Jerusalem, and you brought the church in Judea, you brought the church in Samaria, and you gathered them all together, they looked the same. Because the kind of a curriculum they were taken through was the same. The same believers in Jerusalem looked like the same believers in Samaria. It was the same kind of a teaching that they were taken through. But today, if you pick a church in Africa, and you pick the church in America, and you pick the church in Asia, you begin to see how different and diverse we are. It means there is a problem in the way the church is grown. Now, if you bring a lecture, if you bring a doctor in Africa, and you bring a doctor in the US, and you put a patient before them, you realize that they are being taken through a system that helps them to deal with any patient, whether in Africa or in the US. Is that true? That is the way God wants to build the church, that the church must be taken through a system that makes them to grow in uniform. Maturity of the church. So the Spirit of God is emphasizing that the church must mature up in doctrine, in the teachings of the Spirit. Every believer must rise to the place of maturity. Every believer must rise to the stature of maturity. And the Spirit of God is helping the church to grow into that stature. There is a grace in this dispensation. Now, let me make a caution. Do you know that every time knowledge increases, if knowledge is not contained, there is going to be a problem? Because the more we increase in knowledge, knowledge outside the system of the Spirit of God becomes an error. The only balance in terms of us knowing God accurately is by us reading the word and by us allowing ourselves to be led by the Spirit. Now, this is why you realize that there is danger, because many people read the Bible, but few people yield to the Spirit. And every time we only read the Bible and we do not yield to the Spirit of God, we begin to walk in error. Error is a product of knowledge without the guidance of the Spirit. So, the Spirit of God is releasing His grace to help the church to walk in the fullness of the things of the Spirit. Number three, the third emphasis in this generation is what we call territorial salvation. Saving our territories. Now, many people do not emphasize in our territories coming to Jesus. And this is why many nations are in problem today. This is why many regions are in problems. Listen, if you raise today the forefathers of this nation, if you bring them back to life and you show them what is happening in our generation today, they will be shocked. Why? Because our forefathers were so concerned about their territories. They gave their lives to ensure that our territories are safe. Our generation is so concerned about self more than what is happening in our territories. Now listen to me. Do you know that Lot loved the Lord with everything about him? The problem Lot did is that he was not concerned about Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah began to eat the life of Lot and his children. Sodom and Gomorrah began to follow after his children. It means if we are only concerned about ourselves, our children are at risk. If we are only concerned about our salvation, our wives are in problems. Our businesses are in problem. We must rise up and bring America back to Jesus. It must be your concern. It must be your prayer that every place you are in is coming back to Jesus. So, the Lord began to speak to me that in this season there is a revival that is stirring up. I want you to believe what I'm telling you. I have seen it in the place of prayer that there is something arising in this land that is about to overwhelm you, because God is raising and is stirring up what we call revival. And you are about to see many things that do not make sense to the understanding of men arise. So then I began to ask God, what needs to happen for the church to be ready for what is about to do? Because believe me, the church is praying for revival. The church is praying for the move of God, but the church is not preparing for that move. Prayer is not preparation. Prayer is inviting it to happen. It takes more than prayer for the church to be prepared for the revival that is about to happen to us. Many of us are not ready for what God is about to do with us. Now, do you know that many revivals were killed by what we call humanity? Many people were not ready for what God intended to do with them. They prayed, they fasted, they believed God for it, and when it came, they were not able to carry it. Hear me, church. Revival is too heavy for a man who is alive in the flesh to carry. It takes death it takes a man to die for that man to carry revival. There is a place in the spirit you must assume for you to be able to carry the move of God. And God is calling the church to that place where we can carry the move of God. It is more than prayer, more than reading scriptures, for you to be able to sustain what God wants to do with you. And so in the next 20 minutes, I'm going to bring to us what it takes for us to see and prepare for revival. Are you ready to walk with me? Preparing for revival. Now, every revival, there are two spirits that precedes every revival. Before any revival comes in a land, there is something God has to begin to do with those people. Number one is what we call the spirit of Enoch. The spirit of Enoch is the spirit that comes before any revival. The second spirit that must come before any revival takes place is the spirit of Elijah. Now, the spirit of Enoch is a symbol in the spirit. The spirit of Elijah is a symbol of the spirit in the spirit. So what does the spirit of Enoch mean? The spirit of Enoch means passion, fire, and hunger for God. The passion for the things of the spirit, the fire for the things of the spirit, the hunger for the things of the Spirit. Every revival cannot happen until that generation has the fire for God. Until that generation is angry for the things of the Spirit. Until that generation is passionate for the things of God. So the first thing God does is that he begins to release the spirit of Enoch to draw us to him. So that is why you see there is a generation that is beginning to have a stir in their spirit. They are angry for the things of God. There is thirst for the word of God. There is thirst for prayer. It is the dealing of the spirit for us to see revival. The second spirit is the spirit of Elijah. Now, the spirit of Elijah is the spirit of prayer, the spirit of supplication, and the spirit of restoration to the ordinances of God. The spirit of prayer, the spirit of supplication, and the spirit of restoration to the ordinances of God, the speakings of God. The spirit of Elijah comes to restore us back to the things of God. Every revival requires a generation to be taken back to God first. Requires generation to be in the place of prayer. You will never see God until the altar of prayer is restored. You will never see the move of God until the altar of true supplication with repentance is restored. So then, there are five things it takes for us to prepare for the move of God. Number one, brokenness and consecration. Every revival requires a generation that is broken before God and a generation that is separated for the things of God. Every revival requires people who are humble before God. It is an attack for you to serve in pride and expect revivals to happen in your land. The first thing that God must do to us is that God must bring us to the place of broken. We must be broken. We must be broken in surrender to see God move. In Psalms 51 and verse number 17, the Bible says that God requires a broken heart and a contrite spirit. If the people who are called by my name, 2 Chronicles chapter number 14, verse number 7, if the people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and then return to the Lord. It is not just about humility. That humility is a guidance back to the things of the Spirit. They shall humble themselves and then the journey to return back to the Lord begins. Then the Bible says, I will hear their prayer and then heal their land. So healing is a process. If we want to see our territory healed, something must happen to the hearts of men. If our hearts are far from God, we will not see abortion leave our land. Are you getting what I'm saying? If our hearts are far from God, we will not see bloodshed stop in our land. It takes more than prayer for us to stop some altars in our land. Demons do not operate on emotions. Demons operate on principles. Everything legal in the spirit requires legality to take it out. If I sell this house or if pastor and the church agrees to sell this church, and then they come back to claim what they had sold, do you think the person they sold to will just hand over that thing to them? No. It takes a legal ground for them to reclaim it back. If you do anything in the spirit, it remains legal until you come in a legal way to draw it back or bring it back to you. And so, brokenness is the legal access in the spiritual realm to take the things the devil has taken back to us. This is why we are celebrating Passover. Passover is a reflection of the mercies of God. That in the midst of the camp of the enemy, we can stand and reclaim what Jesus did on the cross. And by that alone, we can with confidence take what the enemy has taken away from us. Passover. It means something will allow the realm of the spirit to protect you from anything that the devil wanted to do. That is why it's called Passover. Broken. Number two. Is what we call character of God. Walking in character, integrity, having virtues and morals. Revival requires men of character, men of virtue. Listen, do you know that besides us speaking the way we speak, our character is a witness in the spirit? It means when we stand before the spiritual realm, not only does our word speak, but there is something that speaks louder than our words. It is called the character of a man. Every time you stand before God, your character as a husband speaks more than you saying you are a husband. Your character as a father speaks more than you say you are a father. Because in the realm of the spirit, character is more alive than words. I wish I had time to take you through a number of things in the Bible, just to show you that character is more alive than words. You can speak many words, but until you back those words with character, those words will be meaningless in the spirit. Do you know the story of the sons of Sikepha? The Bible says, these two gentlemen saw Peter casting out demons. And they went and looked for somebody who was demon possessed. And they said, we have come in the name of Jesus and in the name of Peter. Was it Peter or Paul? Paul, yes. In the name of Paul. And the demons looked at them and said, Paul, we know. We can scan in the spirit and we understand who Paul represents in the spirit. Jesus, we know. We know what he represents in the spirit. But we are trying to look in the spiritual realm and we cannot know what you represent. Because it was not just by mentioning the word of Jesus. If I come today and I say in the name of Jesus, you evil spirit, get out of this life. It takes more than just me saying that for demons to respond. There is something in the spirit that witnesses more than me saying it. So, right now, demons can scan who is speaking to you. and they know the authority I carry in the spirit. Because the authority I carry is not because of the prayer life I have. The authority I carry is not because of the word life I have. The authority I carry is because of my obedience to the things of the Spirit. Am I obedient enough to walk in the things of God? Now, if you are not obedient to God, you cannot be in, you cannot walk in the fullness of the authority of God. And this is what the problem is. Many people pray, many people read the word, but few people are obedient to the things of the Spirit. Because obedience calls for the place of sacrifice. It takes so much for a man to be obedient to the voice of God. Obedience is not comfortable. No. If you are looking for comfort, you can't be in the place of obedience. Obedience will call more than comfort. Many people walk with God, but from the place of their comfort. Many people come to church at their comfort. When you want to walk with the Spirit of God, it takes more than being comfortable. God will call you into deeper things. Sacrifice. Anything you do to God that is not costly to you may not really matter in the Spirit. Let me show you one thing. Do you know that in the realm of the Spirit, the cords of the Spirit are sacrifice? If I come and give my tithe, if I come and give my offering, and I'm not giving it from the place of sacrifice, it doesn't make any meaning in the Spirit. You remember the Bible talks about when Jesus was in the temple and people came to give offerings in the church, and one lady had come with the least amongst the people who gave. And Jesus was looking at the way people were giving, and he pointed out to that lady and said, "This lady has given more than all of you." Why? Because I could scan into her heart and see the place of sacrifice. The highest index of love is sacrifice. When you say you love somebody, then they will see that love in your place of sacrifice. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." What did he do? He sacrificed. That he gave his only begotten son. He gave his best. We give to God our convenience. We give to God our comfort. God is calling us to give God the best. God is calling us to give God our best. Jesus. Number three is what we call the gift of the seeing eye. I love this. The generation awaiting to see the move of God must open their eyes to see in the Spirit. Hear me, church. The world is too dark for us to only believe in our physical eyes. The world is too dark for you to believe in your physical eye. If you are going to be effective in this generation, you must trust God to see beyond the physical. There is what we call the seeing eye of the Spirit. A generation that is determined to see with the lenses, with the eye of the Spirit, cannot miss it. The reason why we miss it is because we don't see like God is seeing. We pray, but we pray from the lenses of our physical eye. Do you know, many people today should be serving God in different capacity, but they don't do it because they are not seeing themselves in those places. Many people could be used with God more than they are being used of God today, but the problem is they are not seeing it. Every time God wants to encourage you, this is what he does. He shows you the end before you begin. He gives you the hope of your finishing before you start. That is how God encourages people to serve him. So you begin to see dreams of you preaching, but you are not a preacher. You begin to see yourself seeing visions, going for missions, but you do not like to fly. It is a system of drawing you towards the things of the Spirit. Because God understands that men think in pictures. And the only way to build hope is to see tomorrow before you get there. Now, many people do not have hope because they do not know what tomorrow looks like. They can only see today. So that is why if you are sick, your kind of prayer is focused about that sickness because you are not seeing tomorrow. But according to God, within that state of sickness, there is so much beyond sickness that should encourage you to live beyond the sickness. You may not have finances today, but there is more to finances that can give you hope so that you live beyond your financial situations. Are you getting what I'm saying? But many of us live a day at a time because we don't see tomorrow. Jesus was given the hope of tomorrow before he began. The Bible says, and the prophet spoke about the coming one. They showed the picture of Jesus before he began. Every leader walks in vision. Do you know why we walk in vision? Because vision is the reality of where we are headed to before we get there. Any leader that does not walk with a vision cannot lead. The reality of leading is that you begin to carry your people to where God wants them to be. So every person God brings to a leader, he expects that the leader can scan into that person and see tomorrow of that person before they get there. So you become a leader when you can carry people into their tomorrow. You get the difference? Yes. Sometimes, God brings the worst people to leaders. Most times, of course. Most times. You look at them and you wonder, why did God bring these people to me? When we were beginning our church, and I was praying for the location of the church, God took me into the center. Number one, the place we hold our services is the center of drunkenness, prostitutions. And I was asking God, why did you have to choose to take us in such a place? You are doing a service and a drunkard will walk into the service and dance with you. We are in the center of the slums. And I was asking God, why? And then God said, because you are a leader. In fact, God took me to 1 Samuel chapter number 22 from verse number 1. When David was in the cave of Adullam. And the Bible says, and God brought him hopeless people. People with debts. People who did not see about tomorrow. And then God brought them to the cave. And when you turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 23 from verse number 7, the Bible says, look at the mighty men that were with David. They were no longer hopeless. David had turned them into mighty men. Vision. Can I do number 4 in the next form? 2 minutes and then we are done? Oh, Jesus. Let me say this. In fact, let me just be done with number 3 and then we'll be done. There are 3 ways, or rather 4 ways, that the seeing eye is made a reality. How do you know that you're walking in the seeing eye? There are 4 ways you know that you have an expression of the seeing eye. Number 1, you have an expression of the seeing eye by the way you walk in visions and dreams. Dreams gives us the reality that you are seeing the things of the Spirit. Visions, are you getting me? The Bible says in Joel chapter number 2 and verse number 28 that in the last days the Lord shall pour his Spirit unto all flesh. Our sons and daughters shall dream dreams, and our young men shall see visions, but the old men shall have dreams. So dreams is a reality in the Spirit to open us up to what we call seeing eye. If you are in this place and you don't dream, you don't see visions, it is a time for you to pray that dimension is activated in your life. And if you are seeing dreams, it is a high time you take your dreams seriously. Number 2, we see the gift or the gifts of visions, the gifts of sight is expressed through what we call imaginations. Imaginations. And let me speak to America, because the greatest, one of the things the devil is using right now is the space of media to kill what we call imagination. Many people are in games. Many people are in social media. Many people are doing so careless things, and they are killing the ability to settle down and imagine with God. Because you can never imagine with God if you don't have time with Him. You need to dream with God for you to begin to imagine with Him. Imagination is a powerful way that God begins to express how we see. He spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 11. And he was asking him, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see an almond tree. And then the Lord said, you have seen well. It means you can see with your eye, but you are not seeing well. Your mind also is an eye in the Spirit. Your mind is an eye in the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20, and God is able to do above all that we can ask or imagine. So, the other way of asking is also in your imaginations. It means you can pray 5 minutes with your mouth, but curse 20 minutes with your mind, and you will not have it. Many people take 5 minutes to pray about America, but they take 20 hours cursing the same America, and they expect results. the reality of the spirits are formed in our minds. Results are produced with our minds. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are a product of your thought patterns. What you think every day, you become. When the devil wants to attack you, he attacks you with your mind. When God wants to bless you, he creates a picture in your mind. Number three, is the insight of scriptures. Now, many people read the scriptures like a storybook, a novel, a love story, a place to find hope. Listen to me. The scripture is more than a book that brings hope. The scripture is more than a book that we use to prosper. The scripture is godly inspired. It means every time you engage with the scriptures, there is a dimension, there is a spiritual angle you must ascend to for you to benefit in the scriptures. The only way to benefit in the scriptures is to be spiritual. You must allow yourself to be spiritual to benefit from the word of God. Because the word of God, the Bible says, is inspired by the Spirit of God. So you must be spiritual. And when you become spiritual, you begin to access what we call the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation is the ability for the seal in the scriptures to be opened. Now, the scriptures has two dimensions. Number one is what we call the dimension of what we call knowledge. Information. Then number two is what we call revelation. Many people have information. It takes the spirit for you to have revelation. Number four is what we call prophetic revelations. Prophetic. Prophetic is one of the ways that gift of sight is expressed. It is expressed in the prophetic. Now, prophecy is the ability for God to show you tomorrow. Every believer can walk in the prophetic, but not every believer can be a prophet. You get the difference? Every believer has the ability to walk in the prophetic, but not every believer is a prophet. If God gives me the ability to walk in the prophetic, that does not qualify me to be a prophet. A prophetic as an office is a calling. But walking in the prophetic is a gift to all believers. The Bible says in Joel 2:28, and all your sons and daughters shall do what? Shall prophesy. Now, prophecy is the ability to engage the reality, because there are two dimensions of the prophetic. The first dimension is what we call the revelatory prophecy, where you can reveal the dealings of the Spirit. And then the second dimension of the prophetic is what we call the creation dimension of the prophetic, the ability to create things in the Spirit. Revelation and creation. If now I stand and by the help of the Spirit decree and declare that this church will grow in the next 1 year, are you getting me? I decree that in the Spirit. And then in the next 1 year, by the help of the Spirit, the church begins to grow. What did I do? I created. Are you getting me? If now I see somebody with cancer, and by the help of the Spirit, I tap tap into the gift of healing and I speak life and cancer leaves, what did I do? I created in the spirit. Everyone can walk in the prophetic. We don't have time to really explain this. But do you know, you can never be productive in your purpose if you are not prophetic. You cannot. You cannot be productive if you are not prophetic. Your life is a product of the prophetic dimension that you walk in. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 verse number 2, and you shall eat the fruits of your. So every day I create things. I wake up in the morning and I program my day. This is the way my day shall be. I am blessed of God. I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the village. If I walk to US, there is nothing that shall sustain me from, you know, I stand not because I am coming to this land. I stand because I'm walking in the principle called blessings. If I go to Africa, I don't walk according to the system of Africa. I walk according to the system I have created. I am the blessed of God. The Bible says, and if you shall hearken to my voice and walk according to this status that I've given to you, I, the Lord, shall bless you above nations of the world. And the Bible says, your water shall be blessed. So if I realize that something is not, let me use a study case in 1 minute. If today I find myself to be sick, is that a reality? How do I pray that I get healed? Because there are 3 ways that sustains healing around a believer. Number one, healing is a product of purpose. When you walked in your purpose, it takes God to protect you. The Bible says, and I shall live and not die. Why am I not dying? Because I am to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. So every time I am on earth and I am declaring the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, it takes God to protect me, to declare his goodness. Why am I to live? I am living because life per se is a reality to every believer. To be able to help that believer to walk in dominance. Every purpose of God is a product of a believer that is aligned. So when I'm aligned with God, it takes God to protect me. Number two, I know that long life is a product of honor to your parents. Is that what the Bible says? Honor your mother and your father in the Lord. And that's a promise. So when I am honoring, I can now go to God and tell God, I know this is a promise to every man that honors. Let me pray with you. Father, there is a generation that is rising in the place of what you intend this land to become. You are speaking to us that you are releasing us to see the revival that is coming before us. In the name of Jesus, I pray with everyone that has been listening to me that, O God of Israel, release the spirit of revival. May our hearts be drawn back to you. May our children's heart be drawn back to you. May we love you with everything about us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release it in the spirit. That beginning today, may some hearts be knitted to you. May they love you with everything about them. Lord, we thank you. We decree and declare that America is coming back to Jesus. We decree and declare that during this time when you are going into elections, there is a supernatural thing God is doing with you. And as I'm making this prayer, I am hearing the Spirit, because the Lord has showed me this. Let me just make it here. I have not said this anywhere, but I'm just feeling it really in my spirit. Beginning now until June. Are you getting what I'm saying? Beginning now, beginning this time that you are entering your elections until June, there is so much the devil is trying to do. I am calling you as a church. Can you step in into the place of prayer? Because there is a lot of things that are being stirred in your borders. I may not speak so much here, you know, in the public, but I want you to know there is so much happening around your borders, and it takes responsible Christians to avert the plans of the enemy. So, Father, we decree and declare that by the unction of the Spirit, America is safe. We speak the blood of Jesus in the borders of this land. We speak the blood of Jesus in the borders of our homes. As we enter the season of Passover, we decree and declare that the blood of judgment shall fall in this land. And anything that is not of God is being judged. Anything that does not glorify God is being judged. We speak in the name of Jesus that Jehovah is raising an altar. And there are men and women that are standing up for this nation. I speak the grace of God to awaken up the things of the Spirit. And let me just decree and declare healing upon any one of us who is sick, that by the unction of the Spirit, that by the unction of the Spirit, every kind of sickness in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare by the Spirit that you have no authority by the power of the Holy Ghost. I am just seeing in the spiritual eye, my brother, the brother that is sitting here. I'm just seeing in the Spirit. I'm just seeing in the Spirit. There is an healing coming over your life in the name of Jesus. Shakata labara koseta. In the name of Jesus, Father, I decree and declare by the Spirit of God that anybody that is sick here under the voice, under the influence of my voice, may they walk in total healing. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I pray for this church. Shalis kaparado shatalaba. That in the name of Jesus, may there be an open heaven. May there be an open heaven. May there be an unction of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Because whatever is happening here, the poll that is happening here is very prophetic for this church. And so, Father, we decree and declare by the Spirit that you are opening this church even to add their voice in governance in this land. In the name of Jesus, we bless you and we give you glory. In Jesus' awesome name, amen.